Welcome, everybody, to the Side Quest, your weekly discussion about video games and everything else, because we are an awesome, awesome team of writers and content creators and vloggers and so on. I am TMZ's Dolly Domofsky, joining you here on the Side Quest with the one, the only, Zacharias Enigma Quest. I just gave you a middle name. I like that.
I'm like, an Enigma Quest.
There you go. There you go. Like the Riddler. And also, once again, making his triumphant return. I don't know if he was on last week or not. I can't remember. Sam Dixon.
I honestly don't think I was on last week. And also triumphant return. The show is more glorious when I'm here.
Yes, it actually is. Oh, goodness. Gentlemen, it's great to have you both on tonight. We've booted Aaron and JJ and replaced them with two way more qualified people and myself. So you guys are stuck with me. I'm going to have a good show tonight. Wednesday? It's the day
after. Feels like a Monday.
Yeah, it sure does. Hey, Stefan, how's it going? Stefan is one of our trusty friends in the community over on Discord. Make sure you guys look for the SideQuesting Discord. It'll be in the comment section below and then all that fun stuff in the links. Join the Discord. Good people in there. I think I'm getting feedback on you, Zach.
It's probably my headphones because they're open back. So
That's cool. Yeah. Let's talk about some fun stuff. First, I do want to mention I was on TMZ, and I'm tooting my own horn on this one. I just thought it was a funny process because Ryan, good old Ryan Gann, messaged me. He's like, "Wait, for real? You were actually on TMZ?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it wasn't a big deal. It's like when you call into the local sports radio program, like the whole first time, long time, first time type of thing." They reached out to me because I tweet a lot, I guess, and said, "Hey, do you want to come on TMZ Live?" So I said, sure. First of all, why me? Literally, I said, why me? And they said, well, because you tweet a lot about pop. You're in the pop culture conversations. I'm like, oh, okay. I think I tweeted at Kanye one time. That was about it. And then they said, let's see, to the extent of something like, I said, you know, what am I going to be talking about? They said, well, we'll give you three topics before the show goes live. We'll give you a bunch of topics. Choose three of them, and then we're going to give you one to select to talk about. And then that's when we'll schedule on us. Okay. So 9:30 on Monday or yesterday. Yesterday? Yeah. 9:30 yesterday, Tuesday. They said, here's the list of topics. Pick one. And it was like, they gave me five topics. The Mark Cuban thing, Kylie Jenner, which I'm sure we're all, you know, totally all cool with. And then like a bunch of other ones, you know, like Jay-Z's ex-wife or something. I don't know. It was a bunch of ones that I didn't quite know enough about. And I said, all right, I'll do the Mark Cuban thing because I briefly read up about it somewhere. And they said, don't worry, all the topics are on the site, on the TMZ website. Just go on there, watch, look at all the little video clips and go from there. Okay. So I did that. And that was at 9:30. I gave them my three choices. At 10:30, they did a quick sound check. And then at the show is going to record from 12 to 1 is when they do their recording, Eastern time. And then it airs, they like edit it and do all the cuts and stuff. And then it airs at like 3 o'clock Eastern time and other times around the, around the States. And it's during my lunchtime, so I could totally do it. No big issue. I wasn't working. so I get 5 minutes before the show starts, said, okay, you're going to go live at 12:25. That's when we're going to start recording you. All right, cool. That sounds good. It gives me time to go get lunch, you know, get my food, you know, hang out with my kid for a little bit. And then they messaged me back and said, actually, you've been bumped up. You're going to be first. I said, oh, shit. Okay. They said, we're going to call you in about 2 minutes. I'm like, oh, all right, cool. So I'm quickly like, you know, put my headphones on and stuff. And, then they said, like, we're gonna count you in about a minute and a half from now. By the way, there are brand new updates. There's like major updates to the story. So get accustomed. I'm like, oh shit, I gotta do some homework right now. So like I did a bunch of like reading on the story in like 30 seconds, and then they call me on the show and You know, they said you got 10 to 15 seconds at most to say your line, and that's it. So I did, and super easy to do, right? Just one of those stupid like radio caller things. But after I said my piece, like they were messaging me a bunch of times afterwards because they did it through Skype, which the audio quality on Skype isn't the best for people calling in, because I don't know how they're actually rendering the audio on their end, but I felt it just didn't sound super great. But whatever. They did say, they're like, no, you were really good. Your point was really good, and you were on it. You know, it's funny because I had it like written down. I had what I was gonna say written down, like on the side of the taped on the side of the laptop screen, just so I could know what I'm gonna say and not fumble it. And I still managed to fumble it. But they liked what I said. They're like, hey, listen, we want to have you back on within the month, and then you know, a bunch of times after that because you were pretty good. I'm like, all right, sounds good. So yeah, there you go. I am officially TMZ's Dolly Demovsky. That is my claim to fame. But that's it. That's all I got to talk about. Nothing. But let's talk about games, because games would actually be kind of fun, right?
It's crazy that they use Skype still.
Yeah, it was really weird. Yeah, they totally, they ensnared me, yeah. I don't know why they use Skype. Like, they don't have their own proprietary, or Zoom, which is actually better, or like StreamYard, which is what we use right now. But whatever, it's Skype. That's probably who they're, sponsored by, so. What are you guys playing? I know you guys are both playing the same game right now. So whoever wants to talk about it, or if you both want to talk about it, just go ahead. Start. You're playing.
Oh, Genshin Impact. I guess
there you go.
Yes. Go ahead. Genshin Impact and correct me if I misspeak on any of this, is a free-to-play game that is essentially a third-person action game that involves you collecting characters and gear, and basically just kind of doing the Destiny stuff of clearing out areas, getting new items, upping mm-hmm. your characters, mm-hmm. leveling things, getting new builds, getting new character builds. There's elemental systems in the game, so certain really characters cool. have elemental properties, and you can stack those while attacking, and there's strategy in that because you can basically switch out characters at any time with a set cooldown in combat. So there's a lot of different options to characters and builds and stuff like that, all built around a sort of gacha free-to-play game that seems, at least at the start, pretty friendly so far.
Everybody's been talking about this on Twitter and on my socials. I've been playing it on the phone a little bit, but obviously it doesn't feel like it's the right way to play it.
Yeah, this game sort of jumped into everybody's mindset because its original sort of trailer and pitch was a sort of look Breath of the Wild-ish, and I think that really
was the big people. Yeah.
And you know, a bunch of people are like, oh, they're just kind of ripping stuff off, they're copying it. And I mean, you can sort of see, I mean, there's a cooking system, there's the same sort of stamina bar and climbing up objects and stuff like that there was in Breath of the Wild. But this game does have its own identity. Obviously, the combat is nothing like it. In fact, it's more of like Age of Calamity that's coming out later this year than it is anything like Breath of the Wild combat.
Oh, really? Wow.
And it's just sort of interesting. You know, we were talking before the show. I've put maybe about 6 hours into it now. Okay. And I haven't done any multiplayer and stuff like that. I think that will really get me to see the longevity of it. With what is their raid system, but it's not really a raid. I guess it's they're more of a dungeon system at this point. Yeah. It's you know, go into this environment, kill the wave of enemies here, go into another environment, kill the wave of enemies there. So I haven't gotten to any of that stuff, but I think that's where you'll find the fun in multiplayer. It also has like a world ranking system that you can level up the world once you've basically gotten to a clear point of it, rank up the world so it's harder, you get better items, maybe you need better characters to progress and stuff like that. It's early days. We'll have to see. I think the game officially launched on the 28th. And before that, I know there was sort of a beta period, but I'm not sure that any of those players got to keep their saves going forward. So a lot of information out there about it already, but people are still kind of learning. If you're interested in hopping in from the start, definitely seems friendly. There's a couple of things where it seems like maybe they should have held your hand a little bit through it. Sort of the, not the inventory system, but the leveling and how that will sort of affect your characters, and just explaining, hey, like, it's kind of easy to level now, but that's definitely going to taper off towards the back end of it. So pay attention to that. And, you know, making sure that you understand, like, hey, you can push these characters better if you outfit them with the correct inventory slots. It's not just about filling them. Didn't seem to want to sort of show you that stuff, but it did want to show you every sort of enemy and damage type that came up. So it's definitely teaching you stuff along the way. I'm certainly not saying that it's, you know, leaving people who don't have experience with these type of RPGs out in the cold, but it's certainly maybe teaching you the wrong stuff to focus on when it should be teaching you the mechanics of, hey, if you're going to be a free-to-play player, maybe start paying attention to this stuff earlier on.
Yeah. Okay, so I play gacha games like every day. There's like 5 games I play.
I think at this point, all of us kind of do in different ways. Yeah.
But like, I like hardcore grind in these games constantly. Like, I always have my iPad open, like auto playing games and stuff, because that's what a lot of these gacha games are, is they require you to grind a lot of materials to level up your characters, to craft items and stuff like that. So with Genshin Impact, which I love, it's fun. It's really fun to play. I like the combat system, but my main concern with it is the difficulty it is to get drops and stuff. Is it's going to be, because with a lot of these gacha games, like the biggest ones, like Fate Grand Order or Dragalia Lost, or games like that, there's ways to just kind of put it onto the side and like play while you're watching a movie, doing work, blah, blah, blah. But this game, it requires all your attention, and it's like an actually kind of intensive game. So it's going to be difficult to see people grinding for hours to get these drops that they need. That's like my only concern, really. Besides that, it's... the biggest issue, I think, is the gacha system, because to get a 5-star character, the drop rate is 0.6%. 0.6%, not even a whole percent, not even one whole percent. It's a 0.6% to get like a 5-star character, which is the lowest gacha rate I think I've seen out of like all like the big popular games. So that's definitely a concern. But at the end of the day, the story gives you enough characters. Like, the characters you get in the story are perfectly fine. You can play through the game just fine with them and beat the game. So there's really no incentive to like pull characters unless you want like a waifu and stuff. But like, these types of games, they attract those people who want to get like, I want the hot anime girl with big boobies. It's very weird. It's just like a lot of different games thrown together, and it works. It's really, so hats off to them on that end. But it's just, yeah, I don't know. Like Sam was saying, it shows you the wrong things at the wrong time. And it does a really good job attracting like casual players. Cause like I said, you can just play through the game as like with the characters you get from playing the story. And I know in the closed beta, there are people who didn't even like pull on the banners or get new characters. They just played with the main characters that you get and stuff. So So it's very weird. Like, it does a good job attracting to casuals and also to people who like me. I probably spent, I think, $50 on it. So like, just in a couple of days. So yeah, and I've seen people spend a couple of thousand trying to get people that they want to play in the game. So
yeah,
there's also people who haven't spent anything and are doing perfectly fine too. So
that's how I typically play these types of gacha games. I don't spend on getting anything. I'll just keep playing until I hit that wall where grinding becomes like an absolute necessity, and then that's usually when I tail off from a game and just stick around for special events and stuff. But I'm not one of those gacha whales. Obviously, there are the folks that will throw cash into it because they really get into a game, you know, and they'll it becomes an MMO, right? In MMOs, we're so used to spending a subscription, a monthly subscription or weekly or whatever, or yearly, that you don't realize that you would probably spend as much on a gacha game or a loot, you know, on loot crates and that kind of stuff. And so I get it. I mean, I get why people are the, yeah, you know, the kinds of folks that will actually spend that money. And I don't have an issue with it as long as it's like a fair style. But just watching this trailer, it definitely, I mean, I see those Breath of the Wild sort of quote unquote influences, but
it's definitely not a clone.
It's not a clone, because there's actually like visual style. There's a lot more. It's almost like, I feel like there's a lot more of Pokemon Sword and Shield, if you're actually gonna like call out like visual style. Yeah, sure, like some of the magic and enemy effects have that Zelda-ish look to it, but it really has, you know, if you put this side by side next to the newest Pokemon game, you'd probably think, oh, maybe it's the new Pokemon game too. But it's certainly like everybody's talking about it. And I like, what do you guys feel is the reason that so many people are chatting about? Is it because of that Zelda-ish initial Zelda look, or do you think people are getting into the game?
It's like, it's from the initial Zelda look. They definitely made that choice. Like, hey, let's make like a big appeal, like style. But I also think people are just impressed with how like dense the game is with systems, and it feels like a real game, which is like a unfair comparison. A lot of phone games get, gacha games get, like, it's not a real game. Like, so, but this is like a real game that has a lot of like systems that we're used to from Assassin's Creed, Breath of the Wild, Dragon's Dogma. Like, yeah, so I think that's why people are talking about it. Plus, it's free. Like, you're not losing anything trying it either. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I think, I could be wrong on this. This is the first one of these that feels, as you said, like a real game, and then is also cross-platform. So yeah. I can play the sort of, oh, I need to log in every other hour to do this thing sort of quest line, if you want to do that type of thing, on your phone whenever you're out just doing something. And then if you want to get into like a serious battle or a story quest or something, and you want a bigger screen to sort of enjoy the story going along or the battles, like, you can just play it on a PC. Unfortunately, the PlayStation 4 version is not cross save or, you know, cross play with the rest of the system. So you're kind of at a loss there, but you can play with a controller on PC if you want to go that route. I don't think the mobile versions have controller support, which seems not great at this point, especially now that we're sort of seeing this sort of, I mean, I think today I saw about three different ads that had controllers holding up a cell phone to play a game on it, either xCloud or Stadia, or we'll get into it, maybe Luna later on. Especially a game like this, like, I feel like needs controller support for those people that want to play more seriously on their mobile devices. With those PC players to do some of that later content. But I think that really helps the game. You know, if it's a game that you feel like you need to be playing it to make progression or to grind for that gear to help your characters, having the ability to just kind of open your phone, play it for 5 minutes to use up the currency or whatever you need to do for then, to then focus on the stuff you want to focus on later in the night, just works great for it.
Yeah, this studio, they have another game called, what's it called? Honkai Impact. And it's basically like, it's kind of like this, but not open world. It's more like a arcade battler type game. I think like Devil May Cry or Bayonetta, like that type of feel. So, and that is also on PC. It was PC as well as crossplay with PC and phones. This studio is pretty well versed with action style gameplay and stuff. It's strange to think, because like it used to be like in like the early 2000s, free to play games were kind of like the big deal, like Maple Story and other Korean games were like the big thing to play, and it kind of went out of style because phone games became the norm.
Yeah, you see them at PAX East all the time, right, Sam? Movies, come check out this game. And then E3 as well, surprisingly.
And then, like, now it's, like, this is kind of a return to form for, like, free-to-play online games that aren't just, like, stuck to the phone. So it's really cool to see, and I hope other studios look at this success. Like, I would love to hear how much they've made in the first couple of weeks. Like,
sure.
Because there was a Chinese guy I saw spend like $5,000, like just pulling all day. So, I mean, it's, yeah, these gacha games get crazy amounts of revenue and money. And yeah,
they sure do.
Like, Fate Grand Order, it's a Sony IP, and it's their most profitable IP. Like, it pulls in, I think, like $3 billion a year. And, like, yeah, so gacha games have power. So I really hope they release financials. And yeah, I hope the game does good. Because it's really fun, and I play it every day for hours. So.
Very cool. Yeah, I'll be playing. I think I'm going to definitely hop into this. I downloaded it for the phone and then deleted it because I don't want to stare at a tiny screen and see these visuals on a small screen. So
it's supposedly coming to Switch at some
point. Yeah, so they said like sometime sooner rather than later. So
yes, and hopefully that will also have the cross save and cross play.
Yeah, it's honestly really gorgeous too. Like there's a lot of times where I'm just walking around and just take pictures because it's just like it's really pretty and it kind of appeals to my taste because in open world games I don't like to use vehicles or like horses and stuff. So this game you don't have that. So I'm also just like enjoying walking around, getting all little collectibles and stuff. Oh, also there's the way the elements interact with the world is really cool. There's people who have ice powers are able to freeze the water, and you can walk across water. So, like, if you're out of stamina and you want to get across the river, you can, like, use your ice powers and, like, shoot a bridge. And my friends and I, we got into a world together, and there's this island out in the middle of the ocean, and we just, like, used our ice powers to get, like, across the ocean to get to this island.
That's Zelda-ish in that... You know, you can kind of use your powers and your stuff to your advantage to solve puzzles however you feel like you need to solve a puzzle. So that's cool.
It like has.
I'm so big into games letting you do that now.
Yeah. So like when you're like fighting bad guys, you lay like oh I'll shoot this ice monster with my fire arrow and then it'll make them melt. So then you have the melt ability or whatever on top of them. Then you switch to like your electric person and then the electric person charges them with electricity and it causes like a multiplication of damage, like boom. So you can build your teams that way, like build elements up and you can like put fire on the ground and use your wind person to shoot flames out of the, like shoot like a big fire tornado and stuff. So it sounds like really complex, but it's not. It's really simple. It's not as open. It's not as open as Breath of the Wild. Like, you know how Breath of the Wild, there's so much you can do. It's like, it hurts your brain. And this game is like, oh, I know fire does this to this, and I can do that. So it's kind of more simple, but it's like super fun. So
excellent. Whatever. Excellent. So you guys are PC playing it or PS4?
PC.
Okay.
Yeah, PC and mobile. Okay. For the one person who watches this and has already started playing... what Seven. Is the best character that you've pulled so far?
Seven's been posting all the pulls that he's been getting in the Discord. Yeah, dude, what about you?
So there's this one character that's really good. She's like this like archer that has like a bird with her. And she like likes to pretend like she's like really edgy and stuff, and the bird like plays along with her. So it's like kind of funny. And I guess while we're talking about it, the characters are really nice. They're really fun. They have a lot of personality to them. The voice
personality.
The voice acting is really good. The characters are all just like fun. Like so, it's definitely crafted to be a world with things that you want to be in, which is nice. So, yeah.
I'm gonna try it out. I don't usually try out free to play games, but. Gotcha games. This seems like something I'll do. What else you been playing? Either of you, Zach. What else you been playing?
Final Fantasy 15 still.
Nice. Yeah, it's on my list to get back into. Although it's gonna be free for PS5, so I'm like, should I bother starting it now, knowing that I'll be
free for PS5?
Yes, part of that.
Yeah, the...
Oh, the Plus collection or whatever.
That's why I'm selling, like, I have, like, 6 games that I've thrown for sale because they're going to be part of that PS Plus collection.
And then Hades, I've been playing that still.
Of course, yeah, good man, good. Cool.
But Somacrops still been working.
Yeah, that's right, we got the review for that. Yeah, cool.
I put in a couple more hours in that. It's...
Okay.
It's such a cool game. I learn so much each time I like go through it. I go through it like a cycle. So it's structured like a Harvest Moon game where there's like seasons and stuff. And what's really cool is when you pick up items, there's a lot of items that you can get that this scarecrow will block bullets from the people attacking your plants. And then, here's this cow that will water your plants. And here's this, like, scythe that when you cut weeds will, like, shoot out and damage bad guys and stuff. So there's a lot of build choices that you can find that's really fun.
Okay.
But what's really fun is when you're trying to plant vegetables and plant things. Because every 3 days in the game, you bring produce back to a city and they give you a rating and you get stuff. So like you're trying to like till this field and like cut weeds and plant vegetables and stuff while you're being attacked. So there's a lot of like moving and like dodging bullets and shooting while you're like planting and harvesting and fertilizing. So there's a lot of depth I wasn't expecting. So yeah, it's I definitely will have something probably by the end of the week for it. So keep an eye out for that.
Excellent.
And what else have I been playing? Been playing a lot of Genshin, really.
That's good. Cool,
honestly,
cool.
So.
Sam, so you mentioned Genshin. Anything else you've been playing?
Mostly just Genshin. Also played a little bit of Hades. Game's still great. I did purchase Rogue Legacy 2. I need to start playing.
Oh, cool. Cool.
That's also in early access.
We are into awesome roguelike territory right now. And I was even thinking if we just do like a special episode based on all the cool roguelikes that we're playing because there's so freaking many of them.
Spelunky 2 just came out also.
Spelunky 2.
I was terrible at Spelunky 1, so I can't wait to just be bad at Spelunky 2. But no, that's been mostly it. Did try the 2-player Untitled Goose Game.
Oh yeah, I tried that too, yep.
Mm-hmm. It's just, did you like it with one person? Now instead of just showing somebody the Goose Game, they can play along with the Goose Game.
I kind of like it because it makes it easier in that some of the things where you had to distract people somehow or you know, get them out of the way, now the other goose can do it. So, but it also kind of adds this weird... and I mentioned Breath of the Wild earlier, but it creates a whole new way to start solving some of the problems too, which are the situations, the puzzle. It's kind of neat.
Yeah, I still haven't seen all that game has to offer, and hopefully that 2-player mode will help me like actually get through it.
Oh, I got it. My daughter and I got into fights over that because I'd be like, all right, we're gonna steal the dude's slippers. So I need you to just sit. No, don't honk at him. Don't honk at him. Oh, he picked up a slipper. Why'd you honk at him? My daughter does things on purpose. She's at the age now, that preteen age, where she's constantly trying to mess with me. So, yeah. Cool.
Impact, has there been anything else you've been playing, Dally?
Sure. Let's see. I haven't been playing the Genshin Impact yet, but I've been playing a couple. I finally got into Among Us. I've been playing it on iOS. I'm on iOS. And that game uses Discord for chat, which is really kind of cool because it's like basically built into it. But haven't quite figured it out yet. And as I've played like a bunch of games, and the majority of the time, like for no reason, I'll be playing and all of a sudden the screen will change and it'll just say victory. And I'll just think like what happened? apparently I won. Only one time did I see a thing that said defeat. So it's an interesting idea for a game, and I guess I've got to play around with it more to really understand it, because obviously there are a bunch of different ways that you can contribute to that game, whether you're fixing issues on you basically play this weird little astronaut out of a team on a ship, and there's One of the other astronauts tried to sabotage you. Wow, I can't speak today. You're trying to get sabotaged by one of the other astronauts, and your goal is to try to fix stuff that's happening on the ship that they're sabotaging, or you know they can go around trying to kill people, and you obviously don't know unless you see them do it. And so there's like a bunch of different layers. And if you're dead, which they can kill you, you can actually do things on the ship. You just can't like communicate or vote or whatever. It's just so there's certain things you can do. So I'm getting into that a little bit. I think that's the kind of game, much like Fall Guys, everybody's playing that. I think both of those games would be good on console, especially. So I'll give that a shot. But then also, go ahead.
I was going to say Among Us is really interesting. It's a fun game to watch. I really like to watch streamers play it because there's like – an odd amount of like strategy I've seen people use with okay, I walked over here, I saw green, blue, and blue go like green, blue, and yellow go here, and like just a bunch of deducing people can do. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a game that's better played with like friends and stuff.
Yes.
But also, obviously, people don't agree because it's like 3 million players or something, which is like an insane amount.
It's bonkers. Because it's free.
Game by like two dudes. So, and the game came out in 2018. It's an old game.
And they were working on the second one, and they decided, you know what? Fuck that. We're just gonna keep working on this and updating this thing because it's blown up. And all it takes is one streamer to start playing your game, and you know,
well, it's like, it'll get real popular. Fall Guys was big, but this is bigger, like way bigger however big. So it's pretty crazy. It's pretty weird, but I think it's the social element of the game that makes it.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too. And then I've also been playing Alwa's Legacy. I got that in for review. That's by Elden Pixels. It's the sequel to Alwa's Awakening, which was this kind of cool 8-bit roguelike. Here, I'm gonna play. Let me find a longer trailer here so you guys can see.
I forgot that game is coming out. It's been on my Steam wish list forever.
Yeah, it was. It actually arrived on Steam, I think, over the summer, back in like July, as a early access game. Oh, yeah. Here, I'm gonna show the just a trailer here, as an early access game. All right, you guys can see it. Cool. And then it's just launched on Switch, and. Essentially, it's a Metroidvania. It's a sequel to a game called Alwa's Awakening, and Alwa's Legacy is sort of a weird retelling of their first game. So it's a Metroidvania with magic elements and a bunch of other stuff, and you get powers and stuff. And you can see the map that they show there. The map is constantly growing and change. You know, everything is opening up. There's enemies. All the stuff you're seeing there is from like the very beginning of the game, anyways. But you can get special weapons and magic spells and stuff that let you kind of solve puzzles. So that little green block that you just saw there, you can create that if you get the right, if you get the spell. It's like the first spell you get, and then all of a sudden it opens up some stuff. So that's, you know, obviously Metroidvania, la, la, la. But what they've done with this game is it's a retelling of the first game in a weird way. It's like a lot of the same events from the first game, if you played Alwa's Awakening, in that some of the folks remember you, some of the folks don't. You don't remember being in this world, the world of Alwa, but it's like they took that first game and just kind of hyperized it. And really, I mean, it's not the same game, obviously, but it's they've taken everything they learned from that first game and kind of created the right version of it. And I enjoyed the first game, Alwa's Awakening, and this is so freaking charming. They did right by creating this, and I've been fortunate enough to get these review codes for games on a whim. Someone will say, hey, do you want to try this game out? Sure, I'll try it out. You know, it's usually I like the stuff on Switch because I can just sit on the couch and play and review it. much like Star Renegades, which I'm still playing because I really like that game. This is another one of those games that I think is surprisingly going to make its way up my list for maybe not necessarily game of the year, but right on the list of games that I've potentially enjoyed more than anything else this year, I guess. And so it's charming. It's not difficult, but the puzzles are really fun. and really kind of obvious. It has that kind of 2D NES. It's almost like between NES and Super NES style. The platforming feels a little heavier than like a Mario, so there's a little bit more weight to your jumps. And I think that may be the only thing that I'm finding that I don't completely overly love about the game is that the jumping and platforming isn't as accurate as I would have hoped it would be. Again, I've only put in like a couple hours of the game. I'm really enjoying what I've played of it so far. I don't know how long the game is. I've opened up all three spells already, and I'm really enjoying some of the stuff that I'm coming across. And there's like towns and stuff. You can talk to characters and they tell you little hints and tips and stuff. But yeah, I'm really digging it. It's kind of came out of nowhere. I knew the game was being developed and I'd forgotten about it. And then all of a sudden I saw an email that said, hey, the game's coming out. Do you want to review it? Sure. Let's review it. And I think I made a good choice because I'm really digging it. So yeah, Always Legacy, ALWA. Alien Pixels. Check it out, and I'll have more to say once I really, you know, really put it to the test of review process. But so far, so good. So far, so good. And then Among Us, that Octopath Traveler, getting through that. I'm trying to tackle a chapter a night. That's the way I'm kind of playing that game, because I'm looking at the release calendar, and there are a ton of games coming out. But at the same time, I keep thinking, you know, if I can legitimately, there's not as many games this year, obviously, as there are typically this time of year, which is okay by my standards right now. The indie folks have really taken that torch and said, you know what, since the big AAA developers right now are sort of struggling, they have teams of like hundreds, sometimes thousands of people, and they're getting all this stuff. Indie devs are way more accustomed to working from home and working at kind of a different pace. And so you're seeing a lot of these really cool gems come out. So I figured take care of some of this stuff right now and then save all my time and monies for the PS5. And if Cyberpunk comes out this year, which we might talk about in a second here. So, but yeah, that's what I've been playing. Let's get into,
there's some news put over here that I want to
mention. Go ahead. I'll let you start.
Speaking of indie gems, Baldur's Gate 3 got delayed like 2 days before it was supposed to come out. It got delayed a week.
Okay, that's not bad. That's okay. Even a month long delay isn't a bad thing right now, because we're all working digitally. A lot of us are working from home now. Time flows at a different speed.
That game's been delayed.
Yeah.
Five times the last couple months.
Yep, so. you kind of don't believe it'll be out until it comes out. In my mind, games like that and Cyberpunk and other ones that are constantly delayed are just, they're in delay zone until they appear on a store shelf. So, Baldur's Gate 3, yeah, and we'll see if we can get ourselves a review code for that. Let's get into the news, Sam. Do you have the list of news? You want to talk about any of these news items first?
We can talk about Nintendo. Not Nintendo, the Pokemon Company, sharing some information on the Sword and Shield DLC pack that will be arriving on October 22nd.
Nice.
This is the second chunk. And I believe the big selling point here is you will be able to catch every legendary Pokemon that has ever been present in a Pokemon game. Give me the original legendary birds and everybody go fend for
themselves. this is the other expansion. I played a little bit, like I put like 3, 4, 5 hours into it. It didn't really catch me. No pun intended there. Didn't really catch me. This seems like an actual substantial bit of DLC for Pokemon, like this second pack. So, yeah, all the legendaries, the whole new kind of wintry zone, Pokemon, you know, the dens, the special kind of raids that you'll be going on. I think all this stuff seems pretty interesting to me. Even some of the stuff they're updating Pokemon Home and the Pokemon Go interaction, you'll finally be able to get some of your Pokemon Go Pokemon to travel and kind of take care of things for you. So some more stuff that's happening. So I guess I'm kind of interested in it. We'll see.
The thing that's so weird is, like, I'm a big Pokemon fan. Like, I play every game. I'm like super into the card game, super into the anime, just into it in general. But for some reason, this, like, these latest games, this game in particular, it's just like there's something about it that's off. There's like some charm to it that's just gone. And
of this one?
Yeah, and I don't know if it's because the visual style, like, just doesn't look appealing. It looks ugly. Like, like the only thing that looks good are the Pokemon. Everything else looks just like just disgusting, like brown, icky kind of looking. So I don't know. But like my hype for this is just like out the window. Like, I don't even care. I haven't even bought the last X pack either. And I put maybe like 200, 300 hours into the base game. So yeah, it's kind of disappointing, but it's also like, yeah, I just think it's the visual style. And then they release these like trailers that have amazing like animation, bright colors. It's so cute and like fun. And then you look at the game, it's just like, so.
I'm definitely of the, of the belief that they've learned a lot from this game, and putting it together and putting it out there in the year that it's been out, and that I believe they're already hard at work on the next Pokemon game. They've already got that sort of figured out. I think they're learning a lot from this, and then that Temtem game, which is going to come to Switch next year sometime, I think, or something crazy like that. That game is taking Pokemon ideas to the sort of that next level that people have really sort of wanted. So yeah. I think that the Pokemon company is keeping an eye on a lot of things, and they're probably ready to really make a big change, which I would love to see. It, you know, this is all conjecture until they actually do it, but yeah.
Well they said it for Sword and Shield that they took inspiration from Breath of the Wild. They said, "Yeah, we took direct inspiration from Zelda." And I don't see any of it. So I hope they were actually talking about this next secret game that's going to be out or something.
Yeah. Cool. What else you you got, Sam, news-wise?
Spider-Man, which Spider-Man has been in the news a lot lately, for none of the good reasons. Today, I guess some days ago, but today was revealed that he has had a makeover on the PS5 remaster, where he now looks about 10 to 15 years younger than he did previously, and looks like a completely different person. Now, I only played that game for maybe 2 hours, but that's not Peter Parker, right? Like, that's not how that guy looks throughout that whole game.
Wow, it's like completely changed, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the whole point of his character in that game is like, yeah, Miles, I'm older. I've been in this game for so long, like, I'm so tired of being Spider-Man. I have to move on with my life. And then now he looks like he's like 10. It's like, how am I supposed to believe that you've been through college and you're about to have a wife? And like, how am I supposed to believe that? And you have like mountain of debt you keep talking about from going to college and stuff. Like, how, like, you've already worked for the Daily Bugle and you look like this. Like, it doesn't work. It looks, it sucks. Like
I don't mind changing facial features. I could care less if that they changed the look of the character, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think the problem is they made him look way too young. Mm-hmm. Way too young for what the actual rest of the story is built around, that concept and the ending of that first game and the whole Miles Morales stuff. I think all of a sudden, you know, he's like, oh man, I'm 15 years old now. I got to stop being Spider-Man. It's been a tough one, guys.
If two of him, you know, were riding on each other's shoulders and they tried to get a room at a hotel, they'd be denied. Can I get a room? Absolutely not. You're 14. Get out of here.
Yeah, get out, dude.
Yeah, so my, like, galaxy brain conspiracy take is they're forced to change it because Crystal Dynamics Avengers game, that's the design of Spider-Man, and they want to have, like, a cohesive, like...
They're gonna, yeah, for sure.
I think that's the reason why, and that also sucks. So,
like, is it is it bad that I don't believe that conspiracy theory only because I don't think he's ugly enough to be in that event?
good times. What a Spider-Man. You guys gonna get it for the next gen upgrade or
no?
I have a copy of it on PS4 because I traded in my launch PS4. At some point, you could get $200 off a launch PS4, and a PS4 Slim was like $250. So I was like, hell yeah, nice. I'll just nice. Do that because this thing's starting to sound like a vacuum cleaner out here. So
I completely missed the opportunity to do any of that with like the Xbox 360 and PS3 generation. Yeah. And they're not doing, I don't know if they're doing anything like that right now. I don't know if you're getting a decent trade in. I know going forward, I'm going to be trading things in a lot more.
Well, I did that, and it came with a disc copy of Spider-Man. And I have installed that game probably 3 times, but have put in maybe 2 hours total.
Nice.
And a lot of it the same 15 minutes again and again.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
What else you got there, Sam? Samuel?
Well, we mentioned it very briefly earlier, but apparently Amazon... also has to follow Google into streaming of video games.
Nice.
Because they revealed their Luna cloud gaming service, which does come with a pretty hot looking purple controller. Say that.
Yeah. At least I got that right.
At the same time, it streams to iOS devices potentially. Yes, even iOS devices. Obviously, their own Fire devices, PC, Mac, and Android at some point, I believe. It sounds like it's doing almost exactly like what Google's doing, aiming for 1080p 60 this year with 4K coming later.
It's it's interesting to see Google and Amazon try to take on Microsoft, who Google and Amazon are saying, we got cool tech. We've got a game or two. And by the way, it's the same game. It's Assassin's Creed. So stick with us. And then Microsoft's coming in and saying, yeah, don't worry about the tech part. Look at all the games we have that are going to work on it. This is going to be rolled into Game Pass going forward. And so Microsoft's story and the way they're presenting it is way better than what Amazon or Google are doing. I don't know. I think with the Twitch integration, this could be better. I think it could be better than the Google thing because I watch Twitch to watch people play games personally. I watch Google to see like, watch YouTube to like see specific parts of games. I don't plan on hopping in. I don't plan on like watching someone play Destiny 2 on YouTube with the intent of hopping in as they're playing live on Twitch. I will. Twitch to me is still sort of the bigger egg in that basket. But I don't know. I signed up to see if I could get in. So we'll see if I get it or not. But yeah, I just want a new controller to go along with my OnLive controller.
it seems interesting that Amazon is following into this because you like look at the underlining message of like Google's thing, is they're kind of okay with that not working simply because it helps them get servers locations.
Yep.
And I think, nefarious side could be that they're running it for ads or they're doing any type of different service that they just need to help set up under the guise of gaming.
Mm-hmm.
But this Amazon thing, it does in fact kind of feel like a gaming play.
In a weird way it does.
Yeah, we've got this platform that's for streaming games and for, personalities and all this stuff, and this is now another gateway to that. And if they come up with that sort of cool integration of that Twitch, maybe allowing Twitch streamers to have up everybody who's gaming's with them screen on their stream, which is something no one offers. But, Google kind of hinted at that sort of idea for that sort of immersion into a gameplay experience. So maybe they can hook something up there with Amazon. And to be honest, if they can get this into people's hands and people, maybe it's not the best in their area. Maybe their internet speed isn't the greatest. But if they even sell like one or two physical copies of a game to somebody, you know, through Prime or get them to subscribe to some subscription service through this, I think they'll count it as a win.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know what this program, you know, I don't know what Luna looks like in 3 to 4 years. Maybe it's not here. Maybe it just goes under the, you know, Twitch type of Amazon
banner. Yeah.
Yeah. Twitch at home or something like that. Mm-hmm. Right. But it does seem like an interesting, you know, we'll have to see what separates it, I guess.
Think of it, you know, it, you bring up a really a good point about the whole streamer thing. Amazon just signed Ninja to like some undisclosed $1 million. Boy is getting paid, man, because everywhere he goes, they shut down and he still gets to keep all his money. Amazon, you know, Twitch just signed Ninja. You have all these folks returning from Mixer back to Twitch. And you have Luna, and they'll be able to – I have feelings that – or ideas in the back of my head that there's still a bunch of things for Luna that are that haven't necessarily been revealed yet. But I think there's going to be a big play on that Twitch streamer side of things. And for Amazon, you know, they have some studios working on – what's like Crucible and –
Crucible,
you know,
got like canned, like it's pretty much
yeah. And then there's like the New World. They're working on a couple games and stuff. Yeah. But they have that Twitch side. People are already getting free games from Twitch. You're getting like the thing that Amazon is doing is you're getting like a vertical slice of a little bit of Xbox and Game Pass with the you know, the streaming stuff. You're getting a little bit of the PS Plus with getting free games every month. Granted, they're mostly like, you know, indie stuff. Not that it's a bad thing, but you're getting some free games. You're building up a Twitch library. They're like coming at Steam and Stadia and Xbox Game Pass and PlayStation Plus with like little tiny feelers to see what seems to work. I mean, I log into Twitch, you know, every other day now just to see if I get anything for free. For that day. And so Luna is it kind of feels like that whole next level that they could potentially be taking with Twitch. Because if you're playing a game and then you can watch Ninja, or guess what, for $5 you could play against Ninja.
Exactly.
Then all of a sudden you're gonna have people throwing money at their, like, they're gonna be taking money and throwing it at their screen to do that.
That's, that was going to be my point, is we've already talked about the power of, like, Twitch streamers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just, like, say, hey, Shroud, hey, Ninja, hey, this streamer. Like, we have this service that lets you play with your fans that we get to be, like, the bridge between. Just imagine, like, playing a game and you're randomly selected because you're watching Ninja play and you get to play with him, like. Just that alone is huge. Like, mm-hmm. that is already 10 legs up against Stadia and even Microsoft, because Microsoft doesn't even have that. Like, they don't have a Ninja. They don't have a, like, other 10,000 viewer streamers. Like, that's
sure.
Huge. And
sure.
if it works, it's gonna be a hit, because. Mm-hmm. There are people who watch streamers all day and try and get into queues with these streamers to play with them. So why not give them like an official avenue?
Yep.
To get in there. Yeah.
I think that's the one thing that Microsoft is missing with Game Pass, because they got rid of Mixer and they had it lined up. They could have, you know, linked those two together.
Yeah. So Baldur's Gate 3, this is pretty cool. They have Twitch. They have Twitch integration, where you can get your viewers to vote on what dialogue choice to pick.
Oh, cool.
And so you can play that game co-op completely from beginning to end. So you and like three other friends can play that game and your story, you share it. And you can like, and when you get to parts in the game to like vote on stuff, like, so like each person's weighted differently according to like their backgrounds and their stories and stuff. And you add Twitch on top of that. So games going forward, even intense story RPG games, are having Twitch integration going forward.
Yeah.
There are so many ways to add Twitch to your game to make it popping in some sort of way. Even Amazon has, like, you can watch movies with streamers. As long as you have Amazon Prime, you watch the same movie a streamer is watching. So,
they have that giant network of content that they own, or at least that's licensed, that it's going to be,
it's huge.
Luna could work out really well for them, at least even if it's not an actual replacement for Game Pass Ultimate or Stadia or whatever, but it could be something that people just pay that $5 a month for because it's an added bonus on top of Twitch to get them in that queue to play those games. So yeah, yep. I think there's definitely some positives there. Hey, I think there's another big story though, right, Sam?
No. Yes.
Is the last one that we have?
A monumental story. Yes. Cyberpunk, which is another name that cannot be left on the newsroom floor every week. I guess I haven't really read too much up on the issue itself, other than I guess they are going into crunch mode because Cyberpunk is launching soon and they do not want to move the date back yet again.
It's, they're sticking to this November date, November 10th or 12th or whatever the date is. 19, there you go. After they kept pushing it back a few times, obviously. And so they, like a year or two ago, they said, Kotaku, Jason Schreier, other folks interviewed them and they said, we are absolutely not going to do crunch. That's why we keep delaying. We would rather delay the game because we do not want to do crunch. We care for the safety of our, the health and safety of our employees, especially during COVID and so on. And so that manifested into like this big push, at least on social media and stuff, of people saying, oh, that's really cool that they're doing this. Until news broke that, there's a corporate email from the CEO or the president or whatever that said, hey, guys, I need you guys to work 6 days a week now. I know we said that, we would do crunch, but we're nearing the end of it. And, the game's been certified. It's off to certification. So they have to get those bugs squashed now. They have 1 month, squash all those bugs, get everything ready, get these discs pressed and go from there. So, and they said, we've got to do this. So it's mandatory. It's not optional. It's mandatory. And I think that's where, there's definitely issues there with crunch, because now you're asking people to give up time for mismanagement. And that's really what crunch boils down to. Obviously, things can get thrown in there and pandemics and all that kind of stuff can affect things. But like I've gone through crunch and it's legit, because if it's anything that I do wrong, I personally feel like I have to fix it. If it's just a timing issue and a bad management issue, I blamed the person that was managing it, and in one case I went in through some really bad crunch and I was pulling all nighters. I think I mentioned in our Discord, I was pulling all nighters and for work, and that manager is no longer working with our company, because it wasn't the first time that he had pushed for crunch, for people to crunch, and he wasn't there. He wasn't getting his hands dirty. I feel like people on a management level don't like to get in the trenches and do work as well. And so that's the issue. I think obviously this is where the situation comes in, and you say, guys, if you want to stay and earn extra pay and extra hours and earn overtime pay, not necessarily direct pay, overtime pay, you get paid more for working over, above and beyond what you do. That's why half my relatives that work at plants and factories like love overtime pay, because they get paid more for it. But or they hire people temporarily and say, we need folks to do coding, we need people to do QA, we need people to do this or that. I think that's potentially the right direction to go in, instead of just saying, hey, if you're everybody that's here has to work that extra day or two or hours a day or something. It just comes off gooey and yucky and gross.
So I'm going to preface this by saying crunch sucks.
Yes. But yeah. At no least, one wants to do it.
No. But at least the director of Cyberpunk jumped in front of it and said, I'm going to take all the blame for this. Yep, I know it sucks, blah, blah, blah. So, there's at least some
accountability.
Accountability there. Yeah. Compared to someone Neil Druckmann, who apparently put his whole team through stressful months of not seeing family and stuff. He never did that. He never said blah, blah, blah. So there's at least, and Rockstar with their whole thing, too. So, I mean, there's at least some accountability.
EA's on it, obviously. That's famous for it.
So I respect that, but it's also like something went wrong. There's obviously something that happened, and them using bugs as like the excuse is kind of not even like a thing because every CDPR game has launched with thousands of bugs. Like, I don't know what the excuse is.
I really do feel like the game is off to to get gold. It's off to get the thumbs up from Sony and Microsoft right now. So they're doing bugs anyways, and these bugs are going to be solved in patches, right? So it's not going to be stuff that's a lot of these won't be released on that initial day unless it's one big giant downloadable patch that comes in, which we know is going to happen. There'll be a day one patch. That's just the way things are now. And so you have to wonder, why don't you just bring in, why don't you plan for this? Because it happens to every single company or every single big company, which is they're tied to this timeline. You know, they want to get this game out before Black Friday. Like, that's the goal. You got the new consoles coming in. You got to get this game out because it's going to look good on the new consoles. It'll look good on the old consoles. And it's right before Black Friday. For them to miss the time frame, yeah, people will still buy it, but it won't be the big game, right? The big game this year is Cyberpunk. I mean, it's the one every single person is talking about. It's bigger than Miles Morales. It's bigger than Assassin's Creed Valhalla, at least from a single player, you know, experiential thing. So it's going to sell like bonkers because of the time of the year that it's dropping. So, they definitely don't want to delay it because then it falls out of that public eye and then they have to start to worry about like other releases that are coming out and so on. But I'm sighing because crunch sucks. Crunch is horrible, but it's up to the managers to plan for it and make it voluntary and optional and throw money at the people or hire people in and just plan that, hey guys, we're probably going to have crunch later on. So, we're still 2 years away from launch. Let's work in getting some temporary people to come in for that last 6 month sprint to help us out here so that we're not doing this thing. You know, that's why you have shifts at plants and factories, is because you need more people to come in. So instead of getting Bob to work 16 hours, you're getting two people to work 8 hours each. So yeah, sucks.
Yep. And it sucks. And it's also like, yeah, I'd like a better excuse to be like, I'd like a legitimate excuse instead of like, yeah, we just want to fix the bugs. Like, there's something happening. Like,
yeah, like, there's something bigger than just bugs, I feel. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's like, so this is just kind of like off tangent, but it's in relation to this. Blizzard, they're... The new expansion for World of Warcraft comes out the 26th of October. Mm-hmm. And usually a month before the next expansion comes out, they have a pre-patch, which like adds in all the new stuff that leads up to the next expansion and stuff. And this new pre-patch is supposed to change like the leveling system and everything. And Blizzard hasn't said a word about it, and it's always like a month prior, but they've been quiet. They haven't said anything about it, and a lot of people are like, oh, this, because the expansion pack didn't get a release until a couple weeks ago, and then they usually come out in August, coming out in October. People are like, is it getting delayed? What's happening? So there's a lot of lack of communication from Blizzard and Activision, and we all know how they are with communication in general. They're usually pretty bad about it. So at least, so not to give CDPR any like congrats, but at least they're being open about it.
Yeah. Yep.
Compared, at least it's not like the thing with the Uncharted games and The Last of Us, where people had to come out secretly and say like, yeah, like, well, I haven't seen my family for a week. Like, at least it's not that. So.
They don't remember me. They know the other dad. Yeah. So. Yep. Well, whatever. Let's hope it gets resolved. Let's hope they do the right thing and going forward and understand that they should be put putting employees in this situation. So, Sam, anything else?
No, that's all the news topics that we have written down. I'm sure there's other things going on.
We got a Smash Bros. DLC coming tomorrow.
Yes.
What's your prediction?
Disappointed. God, who knows?
Kong. It's Funky Kong.
It's gonna be
Goku.
Right.
There you go.
It'll be right eventually. Goku. It is gaming icon Goku.
Monster Hunter character man.
Monster Hunter. Yeah, I think that's a good point actually. Yeah, because they're big. You know, they're tying into that. So
I said it last week, and I'll say it again this week. It's gonna be the Monster Hunter rep or something from.
Yeah. Could be. Stefan says, what about Apple versus Epic? Who knows what the fuck's going on with Apple versus... We don't know.
Still suck. Don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, they both suck. We don't have to tell you. Yeah, there you go. I don't know who it's going to be. Here, it'll be a Goomba. I got the Lego... Dude, what if it's a Lego Mario? That would be kind of badass, actually. Yeah. No, it'll be... I lean towards the Monster Hunter thing because it's going to be a Japanese... based character. It's not going to be US, and a lot of folks are they throw like Doom Guy in there or whatever, but no, it's
Master
not
be
Master Chief. Sorry,
you know, it'll be exactly what you want, Square Enix fans.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Or Geno, not Geno, my bad.
Both. It'll be Vivi from Final Fantasy IX. It's going to be the Black Mage.
Well, that would be so sick.
Wouldn't actually be kind of cool if it was a Black Mage. That would be pretty awesome.
No, it'll be Squall from Final Fantasy
VIII. Oh, no.
Finally, another new sword battler in the game. And he's not from Fire Emblem.
He's from Kingdom Hearts.
You kid, but Sora is actually a legitimate option at some point, I would say.
Because they have the Kingdom Hearts game coming to Switch.
Yes, they do, so I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised.
That would also put Mickey in the same universe as dozens of other video games.
That would be the Roboros of gaming.
What if it is Mickey?
Oh, dude. hold on, ready? What if it's PS4 Spider-Man? Not the PS5 version, it's the PS4. Yeah, there we go, we figured it out, everybody. Okay, with that, let's end this. I'm gonna pound my caramel vodka / apple cider drink here and play some Alwa's Legacy. You can find us at sidequesting.com. Sidequesting, just search for the Side Quest or Side Questing Live or the Side Quest Live. We're everywhere. Check us out on, I think we're on everything now. Literally, if you open up any app on your phone, we're in there. So subscribe, please. Spread the word. I think we're on Amazon. We're on Audible. We're on iHeartRadio, whatever. Pandora. You can find me at Dolly Domofsky. Sam, you can find him just as a black box and without a face. But that's always okay. He's on the podcast. So that's good. And you can find Zach.
Or you can find me at OK Quest on Twitter. Make sure to follow me.
Yes, sir. And you can find us all actually in the Discord. So go to sidequest.com, click on the Discord link, do a quick little search for that. We'll put the link up again, and then look in this in the comments here, or in the all the links in this article, because that's where you can find us. That's it. We'll see you on the next episode of the Sidequest. Bye bye. Charles is killing my head. Day now disappears.